But we begin today. There are five individuals running for the Republican nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. You've already heard a few weeks ago, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, who is the first person to enter the race to succeed Greg Ballard, the race for mayor, in this open seat this year. The other candidates include Charles Brewer, who is the endorsed candidate of the Marion County Republican Party. We're still looking for him. The other candidates are a gentleman by the name of Terry Michael, another one named Lawrence Schaus. But here today, accepting our invitation, he ran 8 years ago, the last time there was an open seat in the Republican nomination for mayor. He missed out by a bit, but he's trying again. His name is Daryl Morris. He is running for the Republican nomination for mayor of Indianapolis, and he joins me live. Mr. Morris, welcome. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here,
Amos. So, first question is, why are you running?
Well, I have a tremendous love for Indianapolis. I'm born here. Actually, I'm born in Beech Grove, okay. But that's sort of inside the county.
Right.
And I've been very active in various community affairs with my homeowners association. I ran for city council many years ago for an enlarged position. Came in fifth out of 10 people for four positions. Mm-hmm. And I spent 35 years on the fire department, so I've spent a lot of time in public safety mm-hmm. dealing with the city of Indianapolis with all fire departments in Marion County. And so I feel like I have a vested mental interest okay. in the welfare of Indianapolis, how it's treated, how it progresses. And there have been, I don't like using the word politician too much, but there have been people that do too many things for political reasons mm-hmm. and not for the good of the people. And I'm a person that feels I should be doing more for the good of the people than the political system.
So if you were elected mayor of Indianapolis, what would you be doing differently that's not being done now? What would Mayor Daryl Morris be all about? What would your priorities be?
Well, there's two things that come to light that I think the city is suffering from. One is obviously public safety. The other is education. The last 3 to 4 years, we've gone a tremendous up and down as far as education in the public school system. I graduated from IPS in 1966. It was a class school system at the time, and since then it has done nothing but go downhill, downhill, and downhill. And something needs to be able to bolster that to see what we are doing wrong, whether it's by committee, by me alone expressing my views, or somebody else and taking charge. I'm not sure. I'm willing to work with anybody, but on the fire side, but we've had to work with them. And I think we need no less than what we've had at our peak as far as police officers. Mm-hmm. Now, I sort of understand the theory. Well, if we really want to solve crime, we'd have to put a police officer in everybody's house. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that's true. I think the programs you do in the community dealing with public safety will have more of an effect. I mean, you can't put a police officer on every corner. I mean, that's impossible. But you've got to have them distributed so they can respond when needed in a timely fashion. And I've had a couple instances where I called for police to do an investigation in my neighborhood. And when the dispatcher told me, when I called back, she said, well, they're already there. I says, no, they're not, because I'm sitting here waiting. And I filed a complaint about it, and I was really upset about it.
Is it you just pointed out something that I hear from a lot of people, and this is not a Democratic thing, this is not a Republican thing. I kind of, having been here 40 years, I have a sense that back in the day, in Mayor Lugar's time and Mayor Hudnut's time, the people who actually do the work of government, I mean, the ordinary city and county employees, I got a sense that there was a greater responsiveness and a willingness of to help than today, where a lot of the complaints are people bring to the attention of downtown problems in their neighborhood and they never get addressed. I'm just talking about the simple things. A, do you agree with that or disagree with that? And if you agree, how would a Mayor Daryl Morris kind of make sure the government listens and responds and gets back to people?
Well, how to make it happen. Yeah, I may have to be in the position to understand all that, but my goal is to see that it does happen because everybody deserves an answer. And especially if they if they're not crank calls or they're not I can't even think of the word I want to use
mischief calls
you know, but and you got to sort those out. But the 911 system has some built-in safeguards that can tell you when it's a true emergency. I think sometimes when it's not. And we have to judge it accordingly.
Do we need to look at, I don't know where we would get the money from, it seems to make some of these foundations give the money, but some cities have what is called 311, which is a dedicated three-digit non-emergency number that would be a cross between 911, which is actual emergency, and 211, which is the helpline. Yeah. Do we maybe need to look at that and take some of the burden off our 911 operators so they can really concentrate on the most important things?
I would say that's true, yeah, because there are times when I've wanted to call the police department and I can never remember their seven-digit non-emergency number.
Right.
And so I would call 911 and say, this is not an emergency, and right off the bat. But I do know for a fact the phone company can do just about anything it wants to with its lines because I was instrumental in setting up the enhanced 911 system in Marion County several years ago for Warren Township. And I went around the township, talked to people. I had people calling in at the same time. I did my best to try to make sure the system didn't work. But at the same time,
to make sure it would work, right?
Yeah, and it did work.
Okay.
And, but they used 811 instead of 911. So they can put any number in there, three-digit number, to serve a purpose for whatever they need.
Your opportunity to find out where Daryl Moore is. He's running for the Republican nomination for mayor of Indianapolis and Marion County, where he stands on the issues important to you. 239-1310. 239-1310. Yeah, get you in touch with the conversation, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890. The keyword is Amos. Let me go and start today with Jay. James, hi there.
Hi. Well, I just turned on the radio, but I had a question regarding you're talking about problems when you go downtown and you don't get a response. Part of the thing that I've found, and I've heard mainly from older people, you know, it's been around longer than I have, of course, is, you know, if you live in an area where the voting, you know, rolls isn't what you call it much, where, in other words, what people in the neighborhood don't vote that much. Usually when people go to complain, they're not really going to get much of a response because there's not a very big voting block in you know, neighborhood A or B or whatever. So, you know, if people don't get out and vote, they're not really going to, they may not get the response as quick, or maybe not get a response at all, like with sidewalks or anything else, if there's not a very big voting block in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from older people that's been around longer than me, so I don't think it's anything new. I think it's just something that's always happened, but that's why it's important for people to get out and vote, so it gives the people an incentive to respond to your problems.
That's true. I'm a firm believer that when I get in a conversation with somebody that has complaints about what's going on in government and everything, first question I ask them, are you a registered voter? And if they tell me no, I says, fine, end of conversation. I don't want, if you're not willing to do your part in voting, then I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
And I take that from my own attitude. I've been a public servant all my life, and part of the reason I'm running for mayor is because I have the strong belief that if I have feelings about it, I need to do something about it.
Yeah, and if you got like my neighborhood, we got, you know, problems with sidewalks and things, but there's not a very big, you know, voting block in my neighborhood, honestly. So, you know, the few people that may say something, it's not enough to really get them moving.
What neighborhood? I don't want the exact street, but what area of town? What neighborhood you live in?
In the Bates Hendricks neighborhood on the southeast side.
I know where that neighborhood is. I know where that neighborhood is, and you got to point that neighborhood in terms of people coming out to vote isn't one of the ones that busts the door down. But I think on one level, the folks that answer phones in government offices, a lot of times they don't know which neighborhood votes and which neighborhood doesn't vote. But
that's correct. But once it makes it up to the people that it does. That to give a decision on yay or nay, can we get this done or get that done, they do know who votes. They know the percentage. And if there's not a very big percentage, there's not much of an incentive for them to do anything in a neighborhood if the people don't get out and vote.
Well, that's true.
And because there's no consequences for it. You know, if they don't do it, well, I mean, yeah, it ain't going to matter because nobody's voting to put them out of office anyway.
Yeah, I had a situation a few years ago where in our neighborhood, due to the bonding process with the city and everything, they did not do their job. When a developer gets done with a neighborhood, the city's supposed to come out and inspect all the infrastructure and everything, make sure it complies with city requirements. Well, we had several sidewalks that had heaved, and they were a danger to walk, tripping people. And my wife just had back surgery, and I didn't want her to trip. Well, anyway, I worked down at the Marion County Fairgrounds, our fire and safety director. They had a night with the mayor down there, so I went to the mayor, and I said, "Hey, mayor," I says, "we got sidewalk problems. Who do I need to talk to?" And he says, "That guy over there." And so I went over and talked to him. Fortunately, I don't remember his name, but in 2 weeks, those sidewalks were taken care of.
Well, I appreciate your answers, but I think that's the problem that, you know, people in a lot of neighborhoods is going to find that, you know, if people don't get out and vote, yep, what they, get done.
They need you. They need to get out and vote.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Before I go to the next caller, where does a Daryl Morris stand on what's the proper role of using government money to provide subsidies for projects, whether it's a soccer stadium or building a hotel next to the old city hall and these kind of things, particularly for downtown?
Well, I think these are, I'm going to say, novel ideas, but I'm not totally supportive of using public money for some of these projects simply because the people's money you're using don't get the benefit of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never been to a Colts game.
Mm-hmm.
I changed that. I did go once because I had tickets
given
to me. But, you know, I was supportive of that project, but at the same time, I, as a taxpaying citizen who helped pay for it through my taxes, can't afford to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think this is what we have with a lot of pro sports and everything. And in the beginning, they tell you, oh, it'll be reasonable. And I think lately they've reduced some prices in certain parts of the stadium, but heck, they're up in the nosebleed area. You know, and to me, that's still not worth paying the money to go. I realize somebody has to pay for them and somebody has to use them. And there are people that like to sit up there, but I just don't. You know, I've been to more Pacers games than I have Colts games, and that's not many.
All right, let me go to Brother Motep at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
Hi.
How you doing, Kennedy?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, good. Yeah, I can, this is the perplexing question I've always had, being a political science junkie and studying political science. I can never understand. I sat there in 2008 September and I watched Kudlow and a few other, I was off that day, I watched Kudlow and all these free market guys, which Amos just touched on, talk about the government, letting the free market decide, leaving the government out, and the first vote, all the Republicans voted against the bailout, and the next vote they did, then when it came, because you know Wall Street, those are passive jobs. They actually do nothing to help the community or help the society on the whole. They're just passive jobs. Okay, but second of all, when the auto industry bailout came, then everybody was against that, when the auto industry is really responsible for about 25 million jobs. So Amos kind of lead it to my point I want to ask. You as a Republican, why is it that that government money is good to fund buildings and field of schemes? If you get the book called Field of Schemes, guy went through it about these stadium deals. It's a great book. I mean, all this government money for that, and then when it comes to things for the people, the Republican Party never can get nothing in line. I've looked at every bill in the state this year here, and there's nothing proposed at all that helps the working people. I would challenge you, even if you never win, to get your party to see that, wait a minute, man, we're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. We don't want to give the people their money, but we'll give individuals their money, and hopefully you can get that message out, even if you don't win. You sound like a guy that's come from down the earth. But it just seems that everybody's lost and not in touch in that party. Because I'm not even for a Democrat or Republican. I'm just for the people, you know. And it just seems that they're just not. And maybe you can comment on that. Thank you.
All right, Daryl Morris, candidate for mayor.
Okay, I liked your one comment about not being a Democrat or Republican. I run on the Republican ticket only because more of my views go that way, but I'll be the first one to tell you, and I hope I don't upset some party people, that I have voted for Democrats in the past because I felt they could do a better job than the Republican. I think people need to vote based on the person themselves and what they believe that person can do. Because we can see now in Washington where the Democrats and the Republicans are playing games, fighting back and forth. Mm-hmm. And if I can, it doesn't take too long. I use one thing here when Governor Daniels was fighting for preschool kindergarten funding mm-hmm. and everything, and the mm-hmm. Democrats were against it.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first person to bring that idea before the legislature? A Democrat, Frank O'Bannon.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's whoever, I guess, gets the microphone first, and the opposition is always going to be against it. So, and those are games we play with people's future, and I don't like them. I don't go along with them, but simply because what level of government you're on, sometimes you got to live with it, unfortunately. But I don't plan on living too strongly from that standpoint. I believe in doing what's right for the people is the right thing to do, regardless of what party affiliation you are.
Let me go to Mr. White at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Mr. Brown, I don't have a really comment for your panel there. I just wanted to know, are y'all going to announce that Amber Alert again?
You know, I have not gotten, I'm just finding out about an Amber Alert. I did not get any official notice from the state police. I've seen it on, I just got a Twitter thing from Channel 6 that they're evidently two, looks like African-American teenagers that have been abducted at gunpoint. They're believed to be in extreme danger. This is according to Channel 6. I have to get more information about it. Their children abducted allegedly by an African-American male goes by the name of Jay. The person who abducted them is described as 5'11", 250 pounds. The young people we're looking for are Aaron, age 16, Emma, age 13, Blackwell. They were taken from the 1200 block of North LaSalle Street last night around 3 in the morning. And evidently this is an Amber Alert that my understanding is was just issued, but we got no information from the Amber Alert people here to the radio station. But that's the first I'm hearing of it.
Okay, I just heard it on the tail end of your show today. That's why I was calling to see if you're going to do it again. But I appreciate that.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our interview with Daryl Morris, Republican candidate for mayor of Indianapolis. 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. More after these.
Hello, this is King Ro Conley, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
And before we get back to our interview with Daryl Morris, who is a Republican candidate for mayor of Indianapolis, let me give you the full details of an Amber Alert that has been called by the Indiana State Police on behalf of IMPD. We are looking for Aaron Blackwell and Emma Blackwell. They are brother and sister. They are light-skinned African-American. Aaron Blackwell is 16, 5'11", 180 pounds, black hair, brown eyes, last known to be wearing a black bathrobe. Sister's name is Emma Blackwell, age 13, 5'5", 150 pounds, black hair, brown eyes, last known to be wearing pink and white pajamas. The children were at their home in the 1200 block of LaSalle Street at 3 a.m. this morning when they were reported to have been forcibly abducted at gunpoint by armed suspects from their house. IMPD say the children were likely abducted by an African-American male who goes by the name of Jay and is described as being 5'11", 250 pounds, short black hair, and brown eyes. No other information is available for the other suspects, and there is no vehicle description. If you have any information on these young people, please contact IMPD either at 1-888-58-AMBER. That's 1-888-58-AMBER, or better still, hit 911. But this is a statewide Amber Alert, on the lookout for Aaron Blackwell and Emma Blackwell. Aaron is 16, 5'11", 180, black hair, brown eyes. Emma Blackwell, age 13, 5'5", 150 pounds, black hair and brown eyes. Taken from their house at gunpoint in their nightclothes at 3 a.m. in the morning. From the 1200 block of LaSalle Street. No vehicle description. One of the alleged abductors may be African American, going by the name of Jay, being 5'11", 250, short black hair, brown eyes. If you got any info, call 911 or call 1-888-58-AMBER. That's 1-888-582-6237. This is a state, you know, Amber Alert is no joke. So let's find, we need to find Aaron and Emma and the you-know-whos that took them at gunpoint. 3 o'clock in the morning on a school night. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310. Let's get back to our conversation with Daryl Morris, Republican candidate for mayor. Let me go to May. Hi, May.
Hi,
Andrew. How are you?
And hi to your guest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking to your guest, and I'd like to know, as the mayor, what would he do about the snow that's on the ground and the trucks come by and push it on the walks, you know, on the walkway, on your sidewalk, and then they tell us if we don't get that our sidewalks clean, then we have to pay $50. I don't. And then my neighborhood has senior citizens because I'm in my 80s as well. There's no way I can go out there, take a shovel, and push that snow up, just like it's 10 feet high, on off of my sidewalk. Now, what would he do in that kind of case?
That's a great question. Daryl Morris, do they need to rethink that ordinance? Because the media is out scaring people to death. You got to clean your sidewalk. It's a $50 fine. That, A, I don't recall them ever hauling anybody into court for not cleaning the sidewalk. One, and two, she makes a point. If she's living on the street and the plow goes by and plows it on the sidewalk and she's a senior citizen, how's she going to clean it?
Oh, I tell you, it's a catch-22. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure there is an answer for it because we have the same problem in the neighborhood I live. The residents of the community complain left and right because a mailman can't get to the mailbox. They can't get the car out of the driveway. They don't even complain about their sidewalks. Those are the two items they primarily complain about. The snow has to go somewhere. But I do know in our subdivision, we have a private contractor that does it, and he even takes one swipe to clean off the street so people supposedly can get out and get to work. Then he takes another swipe, opening the driveways, pulling the snow back from the mailboxes and everything. He does the best he can in trying to clean it up, but unfortunately, snow's got to go somewhere, and I really don't know what the answer is. All I can say is the drivers need to be a little more careful and reposition their blades so maybe it doesn't throw it so far onto the sidewalk or makes like a barrier between the sidewalk and the street.
Yeah, but is this something where going back to what a mayor can do, using the bully pulpit of the mayor's office, using a mayor's ability to bring groups together and talking about what are things that keep young people doing positive things to reduce crime. Is this something where the city has a mechanism where if we get more than 6 inches of snow, the private contractors are supposed to go out in the residential streets? Do we need a system where youth organizations are engaged, whether, you know, including churches and what have you, and you got a group together that, hey, if you got some young people, you know, we'll get you the shovels, we'll get you the thing, and if they can go out and help clean these sidewalks, there's some money in it for those young people to do that, and it gives young people something positive to do and put some money in their pocket and help some of this, some of getting these, some of these sidewalks cleared, particularly where our senior citizens live.
Right. I, that is a good possibility because we have some people come around our neighborhood making bucks, you know, shoving people's driveways out, their sidewalks. You know, I'm not sure that that fine for the clearing the sidewalks is a justifiable fine only because the occupant really has no control over whether we get 2 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches of snow.
Right.
And like you say, when they're elderly people, that's a problem. And if, especially if they're on limited income, they can't be paying every time the kids are moving snow or not. But that's something I think could be handled under the service for community when kids are says, hey, you've got to provide so many hours service to the community or something like this. That would be an area I think we could use them in. Yeah, the city can provide snow shovels. That's cheap.
Let me go to Bobby at 239-1310. Hi there. Bobby?
Yes.
You're on the air. What's up?
Yes, they can call the city, and they do have a crew of city employees that will go out and shovel that walk, especially if they have to go to diagnostics or something. So all they got to do is call the mayor's office.
So they call the mayor's action center, they call the mayor's office?
Call the mayor's action center and tell them that they have an emergency, and they will send a crew out there to clean that sidewalk.
All right, we appreciate that information. Thank you, Bobby. Let me go to Shayla at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, I actually have wondered about the supposed law that is supposed to be enacted saying that, you know, you do have to clean up your sidewalk and that there's a penalty for residents versus businesses. Honestly, I think we should take a step back and look at examples from other cities. There are smaller cities in the upstate New York area, and I saw, I believe it was Iowa City and Iowa as well, where there's a certain amount of taxes set aside so that the just like how the streets are plowed, sidewalks are plowed too. And given, you know, I know our city is a larger city, but perhaps there can be something that's set aside to at least clean off the business sidewalks, if not all the residential neighborhoods. It's a shame that there are too many businesses, aside from the healthcare, all of those organizations make sure they clean out their sidewalks, but there are too many businesses that people are used to walking up to, you know, let alone a grocery store, what have you, that they do nothing to clear their sidewalks at all. And I guess it's because of so many businesses sharing a parking lot or sharing a plaza, but perhaps something can be set aside, maybe a certain business tax that could be imposed that would actually set aside money to clear the sidewalks like other cities have done.
That's a great point, Daryl Morris.
You know, I agree with you. There should be some ways to spread, I call it spread the wealth around, to get this done, because, like you said, so many businesses use the same walks and stuff like this, and these businesses obviously want business, so they all need to get out there and do it. But I think if the mayor's office were to come up with a program do that where everybody understood it. Right now it's simple. You don't clean your sidewalk, you can get fined for it. They provide no alternative to solve that problem. And again, you, the consumer, or the public don't have any control over when it snows or how much it snows. So why should you be penalized for something you don't have any control over?
All right, Shayla, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name is Daryl Morris. From your perspective, you talked at the beginning about public safety and education. In your mind, are those the two biggest issues facing this city?
I don't think they're the only two. I think crime is undoubtedly one of the biggest are dealing with public safety. Here recently, I've had friends that have been in the public safety field listening to the radio, and they're sort of dismayed at the response they hear on the radio.
Response times
and stuff like that. And especially ambulances. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was Director Riggs that said it. I think it was the public safety director before that made a comment on the radio. I heard it one day. Mm-hmm. We're going to start parking ambulances. Mm-hmm. And I about went through the roof.
Yeah, the city's growing. We don't need to be parking ambulances.
No.
We need to be getting more ambulances.
And I'm also hearing that these medics are being dispatched, and they're dispatching a fire truck with it for the medic because they got medics on a fire truck but not on the ambulance. So I think some thinking within the public safety department needs to be turned around a little to where that medic should really be on the ambulance because they've got all the equipment, And stuff on the fire truck is just portable equipment and may not be all the equipment they need.
When you talk to current city leaders, they say the biggest problem with Indianapolis is we don't have the tax revenues, so we need to import more wealthy people to Indianapolis that have high incomes so we can take the benefit of the taxes. But I don't hear a lot of people saying we need to provide great job opportunities for the people that live here so they can live and earn a living wage. And earn more money. Where does a potential Mayor Daryl Morris stand on that?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I don't think it's necessarily the responsibility of government to lure these people here, but we have to provide things. And I just heard a report about lower tax rates than some of our surrounding states. I think that's more of a state issue, the taxes, in drawing businesses, people here, people to support the functions of government. But we need to, you know, we don't need to become a city laden with crime because that deters people from coming. I read every once in a while about a poll that was taken about the best place to live, the best place to shop, and stuff like this. And most of the communities around Indianapolis rate, I'm going to say, in the top 10 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not that bad, but at the same time, we've got to, like I say, provide opportunities for those people to want to come here.
Let me go to Yvonne at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I'm 100% sympathizer with pedestrians. I caught the bus to work every day for 20 years until the Lord blessed me with a car. And I was going to have to do that because that's the only way I could get a promotion. But they finally built, sidewalks out here on Georgetown Road, but it's so full of snow that people are still walking out in the street. And it's like, you know, the pedestrians pay taxes just like the people that are driving. That they should have a place to walk safely. The only good thing they get out here is like a traffic control button so when they can cross the street when they're running to catch the bus. But today I'm seeing two or three people walking out there in the street because they can't walk on the sidewalk. And I heard that there's a Bear Access Center. You call there to get them. Will they come out there in Pike Township and do that?
Well, here's the other thing. That's that side. That's like the sidewalk on Michigan Road. That's like, that's not a sidewalk that belongs to homeowners. That's the city sidewalk. Now, I would hate to think that the Monon Trail has been cleaned of snow before the sidewalk on Michigan Road and the sidewalk on Georgetown Road. I would hate to think that the Monon Trail is clear of snow, and that's not here. That's a city responsibility.
Yeah, because it's all asphalt. It's just got the little border of concrete right there and lifted up, you know, so it's not like it's who cleans that up?
If somebody from the city is listening, because I'm sure somebody from the city is listening because they want to hear what these mayor
candidates are saying. Right now, on Georgetown Road, I see these two men right here. I almost run into them. They're coming north, three or four of them. The bus don't even come up this far for them. They had to walk and take a chance on walking up here near 86th Street.
And that sounds Daryl Morris, if you become mayor, you're going to figure out a way to clean those sidewalks?
And put some sidewalks up here near 86th Street so these people won't get hit.
All right, let me let the candidate respond.
Okay. I see a couple of problems here. Some sidewalks have a grass median between the sidewalk and the street.
No, this is all the way.
This is all the way on the street. That's why I say there's two different types. Mm-hmm. The types that are put in adjacent to the street are the city responsibilities. When you see sidewalks put in, like in a subdivision along residential roads and stuff like this, there's 3 to 4 feet between the sidewalk and the street. Those are usually put in by the contractor that builds the subdivision.
So this has nothing to do with driving traffic. This is on Georgetown Road, Michigan Road.
City.
It don't have nothing to do with the subdivision.
Yeah,
main streets trying to get to work or trying to get where they go on the main street coming from the subdivisions.
Right. Well, I agree. They should be cleared somehow. And I will find the answer somehow. I don't know how.
Because, I would still keep on riding the bus if I didn't have it didn't depend on, I'm retired now, but a promotion. That's the only reason why I'm getting a car.
Yeah.
But the bus system and the sidewalk system are horrible.
Yeah, good points, my sister. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Amos.
There needs to be a separation between the two.
Let me go to Tricia right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Tricia.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're fine. What's up?
That's good. I live in Brightwood, and I live in the 2800 block of Stewart Street. Well, I've been there for 4 years, and the year before I moved in, they replaced all the sidewalks on the five streets east of Stewart and the five streets west of Stewart. And our street has grass. We don't have sidewalks. So I called the Mayor Action Center several times. My neighbors called several times. And for some reason, we can't seem to get sidewalks. It's just grass. So there's nothing to show. The kids, you know, can't, like, ride, skate, or anything. Everything they do, they have to do in the middle of the street because we don't have sidewalks.
And this is the 2800 block of Stewart.
Yes, from Stewart, from 30th Street to 20, well, it cuts off at 26th Street. So from 30th to 26th, there might be like one house has a sidewalk, and then there's grass for four houses, then a sidewalk, and then grass.
And so you're telling me Olney and Gale and Adams and LaSalle, they all got new sidewalks.
Brand new sidewalks. And somehow they missed Stewart Street, which falls in the middle. Like I said, they did five streets to the east, five to the west. They keep saying they're going to do it. I've been there 4 years. They haven't done it yet.
Let me let Daryl Morris respond.
Well,
the Lord makes you mayor. You would have this responsibility.
Right. And I will tell you right now that if I make mayor, I'll do my best to see that you get those sidewalks, because I have long been a proponent of keeping people off the street, because I don't know how many times I've come close to hitting people that are walking in situations like that.
Yes,
And it's not right. I mean, I think that's part of the city's responsibility in building these areas and everything and providing the infrastructure that's needed, be it sidewalks, be it sewers, be it streets, be it whatever, to help the residents live a peaceful and calm life.
All right. I appreciate it, Tricia. Thank you. Daryl Morris, our standard closing question with all candidates, whether they're running for federal, state, or local office, including mayor of the 11th largest city in the country. If people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I've not got a committee actually set up yet. I'm going to work on it next week to get started. But the best way is I will give you my email address.
Okay.
Which is Daryl, D-A-R-R-E-L-L-E, that's my middle initial, Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, at att.net. And I will do my best to answer these questions, or someone from my committee to answer them. I probably will take more personal responsibility in doing it. And if you get through on my email, then I may give you my cell phone number to contact me individually, because I don't want my cell phone to go wild.
All right. Yeah, you can get a hold of him. Daryl E. Morris, D-A-R-R-E-L-L, then an E, Morris, all one big long word, at att.net. Daryl E. Morris at att.net. He is one of five individuals running for the Republican nomination for mayor of Indianapolis in the Republican primary that is on May the 5th. Daryl Morris, thanks very much for being with us. Good luck to you.
Thank you for inviting me, Amos. I really appreciate it, like I did last time.
All right.